The wolf on the hill is never as hungry as the wolf climbing the hill.
Lone wolf is a term commonly used by many people. It means that they used to belong to a group, but left, to become stronger. By thinking and acting alone, the lone wolf acquires superior cunning, agility, imagination and skills unknown to members of the pack. The lone wolf is independent of and distances itself from the petty bickerings, expectations, demands, mediocrities and unfulfilled dreams of other people, groups or organizations. The lone wolf is often branded as the rebel.
For it is the sovereign lone wolf who stands alone in all of his or her glory. You are listening to Lone Wolf Radio, presented and hosted by Tom Metzger. Tom is now broadcasting from a newly relocated and improved bunker in an undisclosed location with internet access across the globe. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode on Lone Wolf Radio.
And to assist and eventually in the struggle, you could send your donations, cash, check, or money order to Tom Metzger, 1281 North State Street, Suite A, Box 114, San Jacinto, SanJacinto, California, 92583, and we'll put it to good work for you. Now today we're going to take a little trip down to New Orleans. How about that? They've been arguing and squabbling, nothing serious over those monuments down there that they're taking down, that the gradual elimination of anything that's white history that has anything to do with white separation or anything like that. But I understand they're even trying to take down Joan of Arc statue down in New Orleans. Well, some people don't see this as much of a deal, but it really is a significant thing because it means the non-whites are wanting to strip us of all our memorabilia and statues and history. They want to destroy our history. But the response to it is pretty mediocre down there. And I'm going to play you a few minutes of what went on down there and what's still going on, I guess. So stand by.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans.
One point about Fats Domino, I heard during the flood in New Orleans that they rescued Fats, I guess he was about 90 years old, in his recliner. They picked his recliner up and the boys walked him through the flood and got him out of there. How about that?
In 2015, when Dylann Roof killed the 9 black people in the church, he has, unfortunately, the Confederate flag, you know, all over his Facebook and whatnot. So from there, what I'm thinking is that all this outrage against, you know, the Confederacy and slavery kind of, you know, came from that. And then cities around the country who had monuments were saying, you know what, we should probably take these down because these are representing something we don't stand for, which is slavery. And I guess, you know, your opinion, you know, whatever it is on Confederacy, can be, but for the most part, in New Orleans itself, our mayor, Mitch Landrieu, I guess, caught wind of this whole movement of taking down anything that's, you know, slavery-based, and saying, okay, you know what, I think it's about time that we end this. So last year in 2016, he started to, give us signs saying he's going to take down the monuments, but he never gave us a time. Okay? And him and a group called Take 'Em Down NOLA, which is a group that I feel like is responsible for all of this by probably lobbying Mitch Landrieu himself, went ahead and actually maybe funded it, I don't know exactly how, but they took down one of four monuments that are in New Orleans. Because right now we have the Jeff Davis Monument, which is right here, and then we have P.E.G.P. Beauregard, which is over by City Park in New Orleans. We have Liberty Circle, and then we have Robert E. Lee statue down in the French Quarter. And what they did, though, one day was they took down the Liberty Monument in the dead of night, 2 a.m. They had people with vests on and goggles so you couldn't see who did it, and they took it down and just left. So now, if you go to Liberty Place, it's just a big, flat, cement square. Okay? And what we're feeling like is going to happen now is that either tonight or tomorrow, they're going to come in as fast as they can and take down the bronze part of the monument, which is the Jeff Davis part, and leave the bottom part, you know, for whatever. And pretty much, we're out here right now in hopes of trying to stop them, all these people over here. And these people out here they've been out here longer than I have, actually. They've been out here for at least 2 or 3 weeks since it happened. And yeah, we'll stay out as long as we have to in order to stop this from happening, because, you know, at this point it's history. You know, history of America, history of whatever. And my biggest fear is that if you're going to start taking down monuments of people who owned slaves in the 1860s, how far are you really going to go with this? Are we going to go all the way back to the 1770s when, you know, George Washington and all the owned slaves? I mean, how far should we really go back with this? Because if so, we might as well stop America in its tracks and say, look, you got to start over because we own slaves. So we can't do that. So let's just delete the history and start over. So, you know, it's up to you where you want to go at, but I think you should stay here because there's no point in deleting history that has already happened and that you can't avoid. And this, in my opinion, is just a reminder of the past that we should move on from. So, I guess it's going to be called the Battle of New Orleans at this point. It was the pretty much a protest over there at the Robert E. Lee statue, Lee Circle, I guess you would say. And you had about 100 of us as protesters on one side, and you had about 500 people on the Take 'Em Down NOLA side, in which they had they would call it a second line or like a parade route from Congo Square all the way to Robert E. Lee. And it took them roughly about 2 hours because they went to the French Quarter and paraded around, including Andrew Jackson, by the way, who they wanted to take down as well. So they're around there, you know, taking that down, and including the Joan of Arc statue. And I would say around 4:30 or 5, they stormed us, and it was just a bunch of arguing. Nothing physical, and it wasn't like the Battle of Berkeley, unfortunately. So we just stood there, just arguing back and forth, and it was kind of disappointing because a lot of us, you know, were prepared to defend ourselves. And we didn't have to, which, of course, you know, we never want to get hurt, but we were thinking there was going to be more action than that, but it was just a bunch of yelling. And Antifa, the communist people, didn't show up. But now, we're here even longer because we have WIF that they're coming out now at some point to harass us with their, you know, with their big old trucks that they got going. But that's just a rumor, and we're just waiting tight until something actually happens. So we got about 30 of us right now just waiting over here for something to happen. So either Antifa comes up, or they take a statue. And at this point, you know, we're pretty much prepared for anything that'll happen, you know, to defend our history and or to defend our liberties of free speech, which Antifa loves to shut us down for it, as y'all know at the Battle of Berkeley, you know. And yeah. From what I know, it's pretty much Take 'Em Down NOLA is a group that I think started in the last 2 or 3 years, and their only goal is to take down monuments or symbols of, I guess, slavery and oppression or whatever. And I guess anything that was Confederate, you could say that they're going to default and want to take it down. But there's a statue of Joan of Arc in the French Quarter on Decatur that they had recently tagged, and it's like, what does that have to do with slavery? And at the same time, our symbol is the fleur-de-lis, which is kind of like, it's kind of like an X almost, but with rounded edges, and they're saying that that's racist now. So at this point, it's like, what else do y'all want to label as racist and take down? Because at this point, you might as well take down everything in the city, right? So, it's a New Orleans thing, Take 'Em Down NOLA, which stands for New Orleans, Louisiana. And, you know, I feel like they're one of the biggest problems and the biggest agitators of this place.
Pre-existing condition, like, you Republicans are trying to make
what?
It.
What? What are you talking about?
Okay. You know, rape is up in this city?
Rape is a pre-existing condition now under...
No one is pro-rape here. You got the wrong crowd. No one is pro-rape here. We are anti-rape here.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so if that's a problem with you, for you, which I agree with, it should not be a pre-existing condition, then why don't you call your state legislator and tell them to keep going? Keep calling.
Okay, so we agree. Yeah. So we agree.
Maybe you piss them off enough that they'll actually do something.
Speaking of which, does anybody need a Mexican beer? Because I have tons of Mexican beer.
Are you selling?
No, for free.
That's
communism.
Bless
I'm a communist.
You. Bless you.
I'm a communist. This guy has you're better insults than retard. I know you're better than that. So you what? Have better.
Retard, that's very ableist of you.
Large-scale communism.
Communism has killed more people than fascism, and you come out here calling people fascists when communism has killed way more people.
The Germans killed 6 million people. I would like to see your sources.
Hey, sources? Are you kidding me? Look at how many people Stalin. Stalin was killed. 80 million.
How many people?
You said we're going to be white people are going to be
suctioned.
Yeah, white people. And are you excited about that?
Yeah.
You're pretty excited about that?
Statistics. What do you think about
that? Why are you excited about that? So if we were to say,
you got to wait to get your break. I don't want to talk to you.
Hey, can I talk to him for a second?
Yeah.
So if I were to say I wish black people were extinct,
that'd be okay.
How would you feel about that?
I respect you more than the rest on this side. You don't say shit. You just believe it.
I don't think that...
I respect you more for saying it than the ones on this side. We just believe in it.
Well, I don't want black people to be extinct.
Well, that's up to you.
Okay, well, you want white people to be extinct.
I don't have a choice in
that. You said you want white people to be extinct.
Mind.
See, you wouldn't mind. Exactly.
Okay. That's not cool, though, man.
I know. It's not cool. You shouldn't.
You don't.
So how is that any different from any other
country? Did I say it was?
You said you
I didn't say it was.
You said you wouldn't mind if white people were extinct.
I didn't say it was different from any
you
other.
You said you wouldn't mind if white
right.
people were extinct.
I did say that. And
yeah,
I
you
also
just said
didn't
that.
Say
that's
it.
Fucked up. And you're a coward. You're a coward, bro.
It's not
you're
different
a coward,
from any
bro.
Other genocide.
You're a coward, bro. Because I would never say that about anybody.
That's what I'm saying.
No, you're a coward.
I'm standing behind what I'm saying. I'm here saying it.
Okay, at least.
I know it's not different
well,
from any other genocide.
At least you're honest. At least you're honest. At least you're honest. Okay.
I know I am. If nothing else.
But I think that's a disgusting view.
Think what you want to think.
Okay.
What you're here to do is think.
Okay. That's true.
All right. We'll keep doing that.
All right.
Hey, Jason, can I ask you what you're out here and what you're representing and what was that?
No.
All right. Like this guy just said that he's advocating for a genocide of white people.
Yeah.
I completely disavow and disagree. I think we all need to come united as a populace and overthrow any type of globalist.
Dude, you're fucking strangers. You're trembling like a motherfucker. You all right?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, he's been holding your phone for a while.
Right. My arm is very tired.
Yeah, no, he said he
would. I said what I need to say to him. I ain't gonna repeat it. Even look on his fucking
yeah,
feet.
He said he would like the white people to be extinct.
Right,
it's so hypocritical, yeah, you. It's so hypocritical.
We aren't the same.
We aren't the same.
Bro, if we said that about any other race,
they're not understand.
If we don't understand
any other race, you hate them.
Them
they're
half
saying
of them
what?
Have said it since they've been here.
I'm not saying it.
And we disagree.
I'm not saying it.
I'm not talking about you. It's not about you.
I can't help but point out they're just wearing a Make Germany Great Again hat, though. So, like, just confusing on all sides.
No. Yeah, that's... If you got a question, refer to his feet.
Well, I'll ask my question and you can not answer. Look at my letter. My question is, I think everybody can agree that there's many differences, and there's visual differences and stuff like that, but I think the main differences are strengths, where we can play off each other's weaknesses and strengths to build each other up. And I think that's like the key to having a diverse society.
Tech will be chess. We're not out here for hate. I'm not out here to hate. I'm out here to defend my identity. You people are out here, I feel like you've been misled. I feel like the ideas that tear these monuments down aren't your own ideas. I feel like these are influenced by somebody else. And I'd like to know who.
Soros!
Is it George Soros? Does their name echo by chance? That's all I want to know. Does whoever put you people out here, does their name echo?
What does that mean, Jewish?
It means, are they Jewish? Do they represent Americans or do they represent Israel? Who do they represent? Don't even backtrack. Just go full racist if they try to tell you you're racist.
I don't understand.
Agree and amplify. It is a meme. I mean, are you
racist?
Are you saying it's not a meme? Are you saying it's not a meme? Are you saying it's not racist? I don't identify as racist. All I'm saying is, like, Jewish interests in Israel aren't the same interests as my interests. Obviously. I'm not allowed in their tribe. I mean, dude, it's a tribe. I'm not allowed in it. My interests aren't represented by it. So, you know, why are they out here influencing you guys to come out here and hate the monument?
Hate yourself.
Yeah, don't hate yourself. Don't hate us. Don't hate history. I mean, shit, it's ugly, but learn from it.
No, that's
like a Southern, what is it, Southern League, League of the South? League of the South!
South, man!
What's wrong with the South?
It's fucking South!
Why do you hate the South so much?
It's fucking South!
I didn't know that.
It's a fucking South!
Wait, so these guys are the ones that run the government, right? They're running the government from a go-to bar somewhere? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, Trump's KKK, man. These people are working with Trump. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's why I don't support Trump. Yeah, I don't support the Bashar Assad. I don't support that war. George Soros' war, man.
You don't see us supporting
Israel.
That's your guy. That's your guy.
Would you guys go back to the bywire, man?
It's all non-racism. It's all people getting along despite their differences. You are exemplifying differences and creating a platform out of it. Yes, the Jews are causing problems, but so are you.
I am?
What's your actual...
Yes. Standing up for
you're standing with racists. You're not standing up for
racists. Who they are? I don't give a shit.
So my question is when they bring the crane in, are you going to stop it?
I probably won't, but at least I can say, hey,
I went out there, I fucking gave my best. If you
if you can sleep at night, doing nothing, go ahead.
Do you support taking down Jackson Square? I do not support any political platform whatsoever. I support non-racism and non-fucking whatever.
What is racism? What do you even mean by that? That means white people. You say, I don't support racism, you're really saying I don't like white people.
No, actually racism comes from all angles. Racism comes from all angles, man.
What do you mean
you
by racism?
You are supremacist. Any form of
how am I a white supremacist? I don't think there's a black guy out here I can beat in basketball.
I know you. I see what you post on the internet, kid. Hey,
Our street.
Take them down!
Take them down!
Take
democracy looks like. Show me what 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 democracy looks like.
Is connected with MI5 and British intelligence, we can't expect the truth from him either. That these people have to really scope out their sources before they start swallowing fairy tales as history.
Don.
Go ahead, Renee.
May I speak, please? The thing is, that was a disrespectful thing to say. The thing is, because actually Anthony Sutton kind of blamed his own kind, which people generally don't do. Because, actually, he said that the Bolshevik Revolution, he felt that they took advantage of anti-Semitism to blame the Jewish bankers, when actually it was the Goy bankers who did it. Listen to this. We have to either admit to being idiots, okay? At the beginning of this country, there was 1,000 wasps for every one Jew. Now, the Catholics were held, they were oppressed and held out of power. There's a lot of Catholics who did wrong in the world, but in this country, they bear very little responsibility. The wasp outnumbered the Jews 1,000 to 1. Now, I approached a Marine one time with this. I said, now, you do battle plans, huh? He goes, yeah. I said, if you were outnumbered 1,000 to 1, in other words, you had 1,000 people, and the other person had 1, and they beat you, wouldn't you kind of have to admit to being an idiot? Now, that's basically, you're going to tell me that, see, I'm saying they work together, okay? They have worked together, and the thing is, but we have this bias to want to blame those who are different than us. So it gives us this blind spot. And see, that's why I'm saying,
real quickly, Renee,
Catholic boys need to quit braiding your own rope by getting on the side of some of the people who don't like you.
All right. Thank you, Renee. You've got your point across, and we're going to let Don Fox respond to it, then Bill Fink, and then we're going to clear the phone lines, and we're going to bring in Dr. Jim Fetzer. We also have Larry Rivera and Raphael O'Neill will be coming up in the second hour. So go ahead, Don.
Okay, look, if you're not talking about Jews in these type of events, then you're really way off base. You're not talking about anything. Because
yeah, see if we can keep it monument related, if we can somehow, a little bit.
Yeah. Who do you think is behind the monument removal? Okay, right now I'm reading an article on splcenter.org. You know, it's the Southern Poverty Law Center. Why the Confederate monuments in New Orleans must come down. So they were, SPLC lawyers were behind this removal of monuments. And now who's behind the SPLC? Who funds the SPLC, Renee? Go look that up. Is it a bunch of Catholics and a bunch of Protestants? Or is it Jews?
Bill?
And Walter Wright.
Who runs
Walter
the SPLC?
Wright. Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Well, the SPLC is a Jewish organization, and Walter Isaacson, who Nathan Lawrenson has an excellent handle on this. I hope to talk to him on my own program on Saturday and here next week. But Walter Isaacson is a Jew, a globalist, and has been on your planning commission for several years now, and he's a big force behind a monument removal. And Renee has no clue about the development of Jewish treachery, and I agree with her that a lot of WASP bankers in England have been in on this as well. But those WASP bankers have been intermarrying with these Jews ever since the days of Disraeli or before that. England was undermined by the Jews when in the days of William III and when the Central Bank of England was founded, it was already undermined. It was under Cromwell, was financed by Dutch Jews. It's I could go back and back and back and back, but we're not talking about the monuments, that which is the important thing to talk about here, right?
Okay, so we're trying to keep it on track there. So, all right, well, any closing remarks, Mr. Fink and Don?
Well, no, thank you for having me on, and Godspeed.
All right, we really appreciate you being on our show and your opinion.
Hey, it's a kudos to you and the others at the station for having the courage to have Bill and Don on the show. It was really an excellent show. I don't like the monument situation. The thing, white people must understand that there really is no appeasing blacks, especially in the South. This is just the beginning, this monument stuff. In South Africa and Zimbabwe, blacks are so incredibly stupid and genocidally racist against whites that they seize white farmers' property and murder and rape them as thanks. As a result, the entire continent is in famine, hunger, and disease. And this is what happens when you give blacks power over civilizations they don't create. White people need to wake up, search Colin Flaherty and Ken Daly on YouTube, and start reading Bill Fink's website. White people need to get armed and take self-defense measures, because today it's monuments, tomorrow it's going to be your property, white man. Just look at Zimbabwe and South Africa. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ted.
It's time I walk into New Orleans. Time I walk into New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans.
Well, that was a nice little trip to New Orleans. And that was the example of the big battle over the monuments, which is no battle at all. They were just arguing and stuff like that. And I saw, this was a video, and I saw a lot of these white guys that are racist probably, but not very strong racist, that were arguing with the niggers. And everybody was saying, we're not racist, we're not racist. These are just cultural and historical monuments, and you shouldn't be upset with us. Well, the other side knows exactly what they're doing. They want to destroy all vestige of white people, period, including the white race itself. That's what they want. And the monuments are just a small sample of what they want and where they're going. And to stand around on a street and argue with these idiots is way past that. Way past that. It's a waste of time. I didn't even see one bloody nose. But everybody was saying, well, I'm not racist, but I like my monuments. Oh, shit. Give me a break. Where's Bob Matthews when we need him? Well, guess what, boys and girls? They've taken RT off of Hulu Hook. Or, yep, they've taken Russia TV off Roku. That's interesting. One of my favorite channels. In fact, I watch a lot of stuff on there. So, looks like somebody's trying to pull the strings and pull the rug out from under Russia Today TV. There's a new series on TV called The Handmaid's Tale. And the opposition... our opposition claim it's anti-feminist, so I've got to watch that and see what the hell they're talking about. Well, there seems to be still some resistance down in South Africa. Three South African students were suspended on Thursday on suspicion of putting up Nazi-inspired posters at an elite university at a time of growing tension in race relations. Stellenbosch University said the images, which copied Nazi youth movement posters without their swastika flags, contained highly offensive references to Nazi propaganda and neo-Nazism, and were in the breach of the security university's policies on harassment and discrimination. Everybody in the university ran out of the building wildly, madly. Run for your lives. The Nazis are coming. The poster for an Anglo-African Afrikaner student event appeared on Tuesday. And were taken down on Wednesday. It's terrible that they put those things up under the motto of Fight for Stellenbosch. In English and Afrikaans, one series showed a blonde, brown-shirted man and another young woman with long blonde braids. Oh, God, that's terrible. I have decided to suspend the three students suspected of misconduct while disciplinary procedures are ongoing, unquote. Gee, that's pretty interesting. You can suspend people on suspicion, said William D. Villiers, rector and vice chancellor of the university, who has described the posters as deliberate mischief-making. Well, I think they should grab you by your hair and drag you out of the university and put you on your way, on down the road there, boy. Scores of mainly black students and some academics held a meeting on Thursday to condemn the posters publicly. A member of the student representative council said, quote, racism is still very much alive, and the posters just showed us once again, said council spokesman Kamba Kosuyayo. Oh boy, they don't want equality. You know what they want. They want superiority, boys and girls. Don't forget it. Genetically, it's impossible for them to get it unless they gene hijack and become a part of the new race, the mulatto race. That's the only way they can improve their Negro race. An infamous white supremacist who gave his children Nazi-linked names has officially changed his last name to Hitler in New Jersey. What are you going to do about that, Governor? The name change for Isidore Heath, Hitler, Isidore, I thought Isidore was a Jewish name, who is in his early 40s, took legal effect this week. The news website MyCentralJersey.com first reported. Isidore Heath Campbell made his request approached in March by the Hunterdon County Superior Court in New Jersey after submitting it in February. His initials are now IHH, which he says stands for I Hail Hitler. Wow. The newly named Hitler, who, according to the My Central Jersey report, lists a Pennsylvania address but formerly lived in Holland Township, New Jersey, has a large swastika tattooed on his neck. Oh, my God. His children are named Heinrich Hans Campbell, Adolf Hitler Campbell, Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation Campbell, and Hanslin Jenny Campbell. They have been in the state custody since 2009. Wow. His kids were taken away from him in 2009 for nothing more than changing his name and so forth like that. After the family came to the attention of authorities when a local supermarket refused to print the full name of his oldest child, Adolf Hitler Campbell, on a cake for his third birthday. The father refused to comply with a court order that he seek counseling because the psychologist was Jewish, he reportedly said. This reminds me of that Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue. A little tough to go as a kid going to school with Adolf Hitler in your name. For that matter, Bill Clinton or Donald Trump. Ooh, that'd be terrible. Well, the good folks in Tennessee may get themselves a Jewish senator pretty soon. A Jewish veteran of the Iraq War has thrown his hat into the race to challenge Republican Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee. James Mackler is the first candidate to announce he is entering the state's Democratic primary ahead of the 2018 elections. His announcement video released Monday highlights his military service as a Black Hawk helicopter pilot with the 101st Airborne Division. That's a little bit odd for a Jew. It's not unheard of, but it's a little bit odd. Mackler, now an attorney, is married to Rabbi Shana Goldstein Mackler of the Temple Congregation Old Baba Shalom in Nashville, Tennessee. What has the South become? The Democratic race is only beginning to take shape, and Meckler's chances of winning the primary are still unclear, which means he won't. But even if he does prevail, he will face a formidable task in challenging Corker, a popular incumbent who has easily won his previous re-election bids in this red state. Well, I don't know much about Corker, but he's probably just one of the boys. I know my dad used to have a saying about that. He's a real corker, he'd say about a guy. He's a real corker. Well, one of our guys is commenting on a news story about pizza being delivered to inmates in Chicago jails. He says, hello, America's done. Diversity is weakness. Well, that's for sure. Welcome to the third world. They don't enforce immigration, driver, gun, or statutory rape laws in Cook County. It's like a country club there. However, I don't mind white prisoners getting a pizza once in a while. Sorry, boys, I have a certain amount of compassion for people who are in the slammer. Not too many of them, but some of them. If they want to get a pizza once in a while, it doesn't bother me a bit. And if it has to be that some of the Negroes get a pizza too, well, that's the price we got to pay for our white people getting a pizza in the jail. The Recipe for Change program, run by a local restaurant owner, Chef Bruno Albate, looks to teach inmates skills that they can use when they are released. The pizzas cost between $5 and $7, and the selection of six pies includes classics like plain margarita and sausage. This isn't coddling detainees, says the sheriff spokesman Kara Smith, who added that the sales will go towards funding the program itself. The program has been in place since April the 20th, and as of Monday, 208 pies have been sold. Smith says a food truck serving food cooked by inmates is always in the works, although it's only in the developmental stage. Well, I know a couple of times when I was in jail, I would surely have liked to get a pizza. When my son John and I were in jail in Canada, we got tea and crumpets, just like the British in old Jolly London. And the guards were great in Toronto Don Jail, one of the oldest prisons in Canada. But the personnel were civil servants, and they were very polite and courteous and nice to us.
As the Kaiser report, you know, the bankers are not content going after countries and companies. Now they're going after your mind and your body. Sounds like invasion of the bankers. Oh, my gosh. Stacy.
Max, we're talking health care reform in America. It's the never-ending health care reform, and the reason why it's a never-ending process is because all of the participants are in denial about what they're actually trying to solve. They keep on calling it health care, and yet if you look at the American health care system, there are very few doctors or nurses involved relative to the size of the bureaucracy, of administrators, of insurance executives. So when the President of the United States, Trump, stands with all those white dudes who were celebrating the passage of this repeal and replace bill via the House of Representatives, what it was actually a continuation of this health insurance scam that is the United States alleged health care system.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, if you could collateralize kidneys more effectively and sell a kidney collateralized obligation bond, that would be the direction U.S. healthcare goes. If you could somehow turn a crushed liver into an opiate, that's the way healthcare in America would go. We'd see harvesting of livers from babies and adults and crushed into some kind of opiate product and sold as a brand name opiate product. But because the one thing America never runs out are bureaucrats who work with bankers who love getting fees on top of fees and more fees. And it's something like a model of vampirism in that when a bureaucrat passes a fee on to another bureaucrat, that next bureaucrat becomes like a vampire and needs to suck the blood of another bureaucrat. Another fee is sucked out of another bureaucrat who then flies around Connecticut, like United Healthcare or some other insurance company. They fly through the window, they grab onto the neck, and they start pulling fees out of some other new bureaucrat. And our children, who would otherwise be employed in some worthwhile pursuit, like lawyers or academics or astronauts, they become blood-sucking bureaucrats at United Healthcare. And the plague of vampirism in this industry is killing this generation. And it's sad to see, but it's nevertheless a reality.
And so we have, on the one hand, this issue I addressed, which is that they call it health care, and yet it's a financial product that they're trying to reform. They're trying to reform this health insurance product. It's nothing to do with a doctor or a nurse. It's a health insurance product. On the other hand, you have the so-called opposition, which is the Democratic Party. They are good at getting these activists out to the town halls and saying, save our ACA, save Obamacare, save Affordable Care Act. And yet, if you look at what has happened in the past week, there are many people, millions of Americans, on Obamacare by force, by a government mandate, that have no subsidies. They have to pay whatever capricious rate increase that the insurance executives want to impose this year. In Connecticut, which is where the health insurance industry is based in America, it's the insurance capital of the world, Hartford, Connecticut. Well, they've just announced that the insurers on their state Obamacare exchange are asking for increases of 15.2 to 33.8% for 2018. Maryland is another state which has their own platform, and they are looking for increases of 18.8% to 150%. So the progressives, the Democrats, the liberals, the left, whatever they want to call themselves, they're out there fighting to keep the system that shows no sign of containing costs, even though it's called the Affordable Care Act. In our situation, if the same sort of increase that Connecticut and Maryland are asking for, ours would go from $2,000 a month with a $5,000 deductible to $2,400 a month with a $5,000 deductible. And for those outside of America that don't have these financial system posing as a healthcare system, talk about fake, right? It's a fake healthcare system. It's actually just a banking system. You wouldn't go to Jamie Dimon and ask him like for his medical advice, would you? Right?
It's like an ATM where you give blood. You know. I don't know if people have seen that movie, The Treasure of Sierra Madre, with Humphrey Bogart.
Of course.
You know the famous scene where they run into the Federales, and they say Humphrey Bogart says, "Show us your badges," and you hear from the shrubs there, "We don't need no stinking badges." Right? So this is United Healthcare. They say, you know, give me another $50,000. And you
and
say,
yeah.
On what justification? On whose authority are you taxing me? Where is it in the Constitution that a frickin' corporate executive can put a gun to my head and charge me $50,000? And say, we don't need no stinking badges. Right? So America's become this complete toxic garbage dump of out-of-control career lunatics in the healthcare industry who are sucking on people in ways that are not worth the money, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and United Healthcare is the biggest of them all. There's also Aetna, there's Cigna, there's Blue Cross Blue Shield, there's a whole bunch of smaller ones that are also exiting the markets and places like Illinois and Iowa. That I think Tennessee is a state that's going to have no healthcare provider at all for any of the exchanges.
Yeah, unfortunately, the stuff that's really bad for your health is, well-priced, you know, like a fast food hamburger or something. You go there and you might pay, you know, a couple of bucks for a hamburger. And the guy behind the counter, as I say, put a gun to your head and said, no, give me 30 bucks for that hamburger. And if you don't give me 30 bucks, I'm going to blow your freaking head off, cancel your health insurance, and your kids die. But in exchange, you get a really dodgy hamburger that's really bad for your health. The stuff that's good for your health, like healthcare, is run by the worst elements in American society, the kakistocracy. These executives are actually, they might be worse than bankers, because bankers just steal your money.
Well,
they just steal your money, but they do so in a way that immediately, one for one, maps the health of you as an individual. They are actually, this is like the Pol Pot of healthcare in America, run by United Healthcare, and you get the killing fields across from coast to coast, people dying in the street. It's like Walking Dead, that TV show. You got bad colostomy bags hanging from people's shorts. You got, you know, midway through a colonoscopy, instruments, you know, hanging from the shring-shring, walking into a mall half dead, trying to find some opiates. That's the American healthcare system. You got torn trousers and blouses and scars and with axes. And, you know, that's what all the shitting's about. And all these are like, where's my healthcare executive? You know, it's driving people mad.
I think you've had one too many colonoscopies this year.
I'm trying to justify this freaking healthcare cost. I'm getting one colonoscopy a month. You know, if it takes, that's what I want to get my money's worth.
So, how many problems have I identified? There are many problems. I first of all, identified the fact that the people tasked with fixing the system can't even identify the correct name for the system. It's not healthcare, it's health insurance racket. I also identified that the so-called opposition is really not opposed to the system. They're all for this healthcare racket system, and they want to extend it. They just want to be a little bit kinder and gentler and include a few more people on the single-payer system that is Medicaid, the Medicaid expansion under Obamacare. Here's another problem, which is neoliberal capitalism. Remember, we, since the end of history in 1989, when
Francis Fukushima? He wrote these
Fukuyama.
Oh, Fukuyama. I'm thinking about the nuclear accident over there in freaking Japan.
So since the end of history and capitalism won and we were all going forward to this great nirvana future of capitalism, well, look at this chart of growth of physicians and administrators in America since 1970 to 2009. Here is, about 1989. This pink blob, this is the growth of the industry, right? Surely that's nurses, doctors, orderlies, all the sort of people you see around in the hospital. No. This is the doctor level, barely increased, only with the population, not even with the population, I would say. This big, huge explosion of pink people, administrators, insurance executives, paper pushers, that looks like inefficiency to me. That looks like how they put together a car in the Soviet Union.
That's not a little bureaucrat. It is a Sovietization of America. I've always said the two countries are two ships passing in the night. You know, Russia's becoming more like America in the 1950s, with Putin is more like Ike. And you've got Trump is more like Khrushchev, and they're heading back to the, you know, 50s and 60s in the Soviet Union in America. So these two countries are crossing. But that pink blob, this is only seen in nature with the growth of such out-of-control things as cancer. So America's got health cancer. Mm. They need to be they need an exorcist.
Heard that mentioned in all these healthcare debates by Obama, all the Democrats, all the Republicans, everybody from the Freedom Caucus wanting to fix the healthcare system, they say, the misidentified healthcare system, the fake news. It's all fake legislation to fix a fake problem because the real problem is right here.
Yeah, well, they call that GDP growth.
Yeah.
Okay, but it doesn't result in velocity of money that would precipitate loan growth and actual GDP growth and a real economic growth. Because these guys extort the money by using a cartel. And the government is in bed with these extortionists. And they suck the money out of your bank account and they go buy a freaking chateau in Greenwich.
Right,
and it's dead money.
Dead.
It's not circulating.
No.
So the money velocity, or M2, is at historic lows. It's dead, like a dead person, because these freaking vampires are killing it. And what does the Federal Reserve Bank say? Well, you know, we don't see enough growth to justify raising rates, so therefore they're keeping the vampires alive. Raising rates would be like sunlight to this vampiric, cancerous healthcare behemoth that's strangling our children. This next generation is dead. If you're 20 years old, America, adios, amigo. We don't need your stinking badges.
Now, you threw that chart away, but perhaps in the post-production they could put it up here again, because look at that pink giant blob there. This is what they're saying is neoliberal capitalism. This is the advancement. Capitalism delivers efficiency and growth in a big pink blob. If you look at places where capitalism does rule, where competition does rule, say in the car industry or the fast food industry, that would be the equivalent of not getting rid of assembly line workers or, you know, all the people that needed to be in a restaurant before. Imagine that, like, you went into a fast food joint, ordered a hamburger, and there was one guy flipping the hamburger, and then another guy put on the tomato, and then another guy put on, gave you a packet of ketchup, and another guy came to ask you for your money, and another guy gave you the change from your money, and the other guy, like, you would be, like, annoyed, wouldn't you? You'd be like, why are all these people around me to just give me a stupid hamburger?
Well, it's pre-neoclassical economics. It goes back to the time before Adam Smith. So similarly, healthcare should go back to the time when you go to the doctor and they put leeches on your body, or they open you up with a, you know, clam shell, and then they got like 40 or 50 other guys with no masks and they're drilling your head. You know, I mean, that's where we're going back in America. You know, why not? The ghetto problem is not a problem. Just turn everyone in the ghetto into doctors. They've already got the guns and the knives. Just send all your patients down there, and it's a twofer. You know, you got the same style of healthcare. You've got employment for the unemployed. And they've got real GDP growth. You can start raising interest rates, and you can snuff out the cancerous bankers. Well, I solved that one. Stay tuned for the second.
Are you ready to watch the big Jewish movies of the summer? If you're looking to watch Jewish and Jewish actors and or Jewish and Jewish characters on the big screen this summer, and we know you are, look no farther. The following is a batch of blockbusters, indie kike flicks, and foreign films from Hebrew and Yiddish language dramas to raunchy female-driven comedies. Movies for every member of the tribe, opening between Mother's Day weekend and the peak of the warm months. Well, let's see. I'll give you a clue of what they are. Here's one. Harold and Lillian, a Hollywood love story. There's a kike movie for you. Let's see. What's the next one? Snatched. An uptight mother, Goldie Hawn, and her free-spirited daughter, Amy Schumer, become embroiled in a madcap plot while on vacation in South America. There's another good Jewish movie. The Wedding Plan, that's coming out. Another Jewish movie. Another movie is Band-Aid, that's another big Jewish movie. And then another big Jewish movie is Wonder Woman, coming out in June. And another one is Past Life, Israeli filmmaker. And My Cousin Rachel, Farewell to Europe, coming out. Rough Night is coming out, another Jewish movie. Menashe, M-E-N-A-S-H-E, that's produced by Joshua Z. Weinstein's Portrait of a Hasidic Jew Man in Brooklyn. Oh, about that. That's another hot one. And then we got Person to Person, another big Jewish movie. That's about it for this time. I don't see any more here, so now you know which Jewish movies to go to. Nyeh, 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 nyeh. Well, here's a juicy one. In early December 2016, Adam was doing what he's always doing, somewhere between hobby and profession, looking for things that are on the internet that shouldn't be. That week, he came across a server inside New York University's famed Institute for Mathematics and Advanced Supercomputing, headed by the brilliant Chudnovsky brothers, David and Gregory. The server appeared to be an internet-connected backup drive, but instead of being filled with family photos and spreadsheets, this drive had confidential information on an advanced code-breaking machine that had never before been described in public. Dozens of documents spanning hundreds of pages. I have a dog that keeps trying to upstage me, and I don't like it. Dozens of documents spanning hundreds of pages detailing the project, a joint supercomputing initiative administered by New York University, the Department of Defense, and IBM, and they were available for the entire world to download. I love it. The supercomputer described in the Trove Windsor Green was a system designed to excel at the sort of complex mathematics that underlies encryption, the technology that keeps data private and almost certainly intended for use by the Defense Department's Signals Intelligence Wing, the National Security Agency. Windsor Green was a successor to another password-cracking machine used by NASA, Windsor Blue, which was also documented in the material leaked from NYU and which had been previously described in the Norwegian press thanks to a document provided by the National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden. Both systems were intended to be used by the Pentagon and a select few of Western governments, including Canada and Norway. Adam, an American digital security researcher, requested that his real name not be published out of fear of losing his day job. Although he deals constantly with digital carelessness, Adam was nonetheless stunned by what New York University had made available to the world. The fact that this software, these spec sheets, and all manuals to go with it were sitting out in the open for anyone to copy is just simply mind-blowing, he said. Security? There's no security. He described to The Intercept how easy it would have been for someone to obtain the material, which was marked with warnings like distribution limit to U.S. government agencies only. Requests for this document must be referred to and approved by the Department of Defense and the IBM confidential. At the time of his discovery, Adam wrote to me in an email. All this leaky data is courtesy of what I can only assume are misconfigurations in the IMAS, Institute for Mathematics and Advanced Supercomputing Department at NYU. Not even a single username or password separates these files from the public internet right now. It's absolutely insanity. The files were taken down after Adam notified NYU. Intelligence agencies like NASA hide code-breaking advances like Windsor Green because their disclosure might accelerate what has become a cryptographic arms race. Encrypting information on a computer used to be a dark art shared between militaries and mathematicians, but advanced in cryptography. They wanted me to go into cryptography and down at the Pentagon when I first went in the Army. I was only 18. They wanted to take me out a side door and put me in cryptography, working for the CIA. Woo, boy. But I refused because I wanted to go to Europe. I didn't want to sit around in Washington. And rapidly swelling interest in privacy in the wake of Snowden have helped make encryption tech an effortless, everyday commodity for consumers. Web connections are increasingly shielded using the HTTPS protocol. End-to-end encryption has come to be popular chat platforms. Well, anyhow, that's enough of that. It just shows you how the lack of security is always there. Well, Belgium votes to ban kosher and halal slaughter in its biggest territory. The European Jewish Congress condemns the decision as the greatest assault on the Jewish religious rights in Belgium since the Nazi occupation of the country in World War II. Wow, man. Belgium's Walloon region has voted to ban kosher and halal meats by outlawing the slaughter of unstunned animals. The Environment Committee of Southern Belgium's Walloon Parliament voted unanimously for the ban, which will take effect in September 2019 if the Parliament's plenary approves the ban later this month. Both Jewish kosher and Islamic halal rituals require the butcher to swiftly slaughter the animal by slitting its throat and draining its blood. Oh, vampire, allow me to bite you on the throat. A process condemned by animal rights campaigners who argue it is more humane to stun the animals before killing them. There we go. It's those Jews again.